in the time I loved so well.
Oh, yes, the town I loved so well. Nobody indeed had a finer rendition of that. Okay, well, maybe we could say Phil Coulter, who composed the song, yes, might. But that was John Hume's song. And as my guest, Loretta Brennan Glucksman, would know, on many occasions, if somebody was at a function and somebody who was doing the work of Ireland, John Hume would break into the town I love so well. A very close friend of John Hume is Loretta Brennan Glucksman. And Loretta, I have three pages here of your bio.
Oh, please don't, Adrian. I thought we were friends. Come on.
All right. Okay. I respect that for the moment, but I think most people would know, and we can't but talk about briefly anyway. A great moment in Irish-American history, in New York history, back in 1993, when you and your husband, Lou Glucksman, founded Glucksman Ireland House, an amazing brownstone, lovely building at New York University, which would become the prime center, the leading center for Irish studies right across America. Just bring us to that as I welcome you, Loretta.
Well, thank you, Adrian. As always, it's a joy to be with you and long cherished privilege. I keep saying unique, and I'm wearing that word out. But wow, what a unique week it was. We lost a trinity of giants. And by that, I mean, even hard to say, John Hume, Pete Hamill, and Jim Cagney. And a diverse trinity, to be sure, and a glorious trinity, absolutely. But lose them we did. And I'm so pleased that our friendship has given me this opportunity to come and talk with you and your terrific audience, the stalwart of our community, that trinity loved so well. All three of them loved the real Irish America, and that's the people that listen to you every Saturday. So this is a unique and very, sorry, as you might be able to tell, very emotional moment for me. It's been kind of an emotional week, and I'd love to bring you up to date. Just with my own little thoughts, I've been talking to my treasured friend, Onya Sheridan, and I told her that I was in hospital and in ICU for 3 days, had no clue what was happening to my beaten-up 82-year-old body, and know a good bit more, but it boils down to, which a lot of you will have dealt with in your own lives, these catch-22s when the medical people tell us to follow orders. We do our very best as good, usually, Catholic school kids. Yes, sister, and we do the homework and we say the prayers. And I thought I was doing all of that, and indeed I was. But what I was doing, I have a low sodium problem, very chronic, very low. And I also have a hydration problem, which any aging body has. And so I was being a very good Catholic schoolgirl and hydrating so well that I was washing the little sodium I had away. So it kicked up a perfect storm, landed in the ICU. All the wheels fell off. But those wonderful medical people put me together and back home with my amazing, blessed family, John Cooney, Kate Cooney Pico, and my wonderful Liam Pico, my grandson, and they have cared for me, and I feel wonderful again. Anyway, that's the framework within which I am celebrating our Trinity on your air with your wonderful audience. So thank you for that.
Well, Loretta, I just want to say, though, that, you know, the great welcome and the great support that you and Lou and indeed Gluckspin Ireland House continues to provide, you know, for our three who we're paying tribute to, we've all lost in the last week or so. They didn't and wouldn't have, you know, access to a great place, to meet, a great place to, you know, indulge in their finest time, hours. It's incredible, really. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, Dr. Miriam Gray Nyhan.
About whom we will speak in great, magnificent platitudes, because she is a hero.
Total.
A hero. And I want to tell you some stories about Miriam that you probably know, but many of our friends do not. But back to your question, Adrian, in 1993, actually in 1991, when Lou and I and Jay Oliva and his wife, Mary Ellen, and Jay was then president of NYU, and he had the great blessing of an Irish mother, and Lou said, Lou was on the board, he was a trustee, and he said, there's all these ethnic houses, which are wonderful. There's the French, the Greek, the Israeli, so many different wonderful ethnicities. Where's the Irish? And Jay said, indeed, let's go see if there would be any interest in reciprocal programs in any of the schools in Ireland. So we went on one of the most hilarious trips to Ireland in what we called our red bus from hell. And we bounced in this red bus around 8 counties in Ireland, around many universities. And indeed, there was great interest in partnering with a university that would dedicate programs to Irish studies in New York City. There wasn't such an animal at the time. So we came back emboldened. Lou took it to the board. It passed. And in 1993, Albert Reynolds did the first opening in true Irish fashion. We had several openings. And Albert was Taoiseach at the time and a wonderful friend and a good friend of Albert's, both working very, very assiduously at the time, somewhat quietly, on what would become the Belfast Agreement. John Hume came over. And we have a photo that Marion Casey, another wonderful person at Gluckman Ireland House, a world-class historian, she knows there is a photo of John on the day of the opening because it's in one of Marion's photos that she took in the house on her wedding day. Hmm. And so she has evidence of it. So John was there, and I forgot that. Pat was not, and that's another thing, Adrian. As you well know, Pat Hume is within her own right a hero, a true Irish hero for all she did and enabled John to do. And indeed, she was John's manager through all the years. And John, as anyone who knew him, God love him, he was not best organized. And Pat made sure he had the collar straight, well, most times, and showed up when he was meant to. And she just kept so much going and kept him going all those years until she couldn't. And that was the most heartbreaking. And as everyone knows, he suffered in the true sense of the word, but not nearly as much as Pat and the five children suffered when he went into deep decline with dementia in the last decade of his life. So Pat Hume deserves accolades every bit as high as John's, and she will receive them, and she never, ever sought them. So John was at Ireland House from the very beginning, supported it in every way he could, never declined anything we asked of him, and was a stalwart, good friend from the very beginning, both in New York and, of course, always in Ireland, both north and south. And I'd like to say a bit about Pete Hamill. We put together an advisory board because truly we didn't, I still don't, but we didn't know what we were doing. We knew what we wanted to do. We wanted to have a place. No denigration to saloons, because you more than anyone, my sommelier, you know how much I love saloons. But whenever a person came from Ireland, the only place the community could find the adequate space to hold a meeting with such person was usually in a bar. And that was fine. But there, until it came to Tishai, et cetera. And so we decided it would be nice to have a place of some, not necessarily dignity, because we Irish do not stand on dignity necessarily, but a place of some respect. And although Ireland House is a tiny, tiny little place, it does have an air of a home, which I think connotes respect. When you invite someone into your home, it shows respect. And people received it as such. So over the years, our advisory committee was absolutely instrumental in keeping us on a very solid track. Pete Hamill was one of the first members of that committee, and he was a member of it when he passed away on Wednesday. Very active, contributing member of it. He, as you know, was never short of creative ideas and came up with some of the most wonderful ideas that now serve us so well in the programming at Ireland House that Miriam has turned into such a treasure for the whole community. It used to be in the good old days, before pandemic set in, every Thursday we would open the house to a public event, and the diversity of those events is astonishing when you cast your mind back over it, from, of course, literature and music and dance, even in that tiny little place. Yeah. I remember wonderful step dancing on this tiny, tiny little platform. But it was step dancing, and it just soared. So Pete helped us set the framework for that tapestry of Irish richness. And I'm grateful to him for so, so many things. But keeping Ireland House on his list, when you know Pete Hamill's list.
It was
pretty, pretty widespread, pretty cosmopolitan, international. And there was always little tiny Glucksman Ireland House on there, and he never, ever forgot till the very end. And I want to so much say words about Fukiko Aoki Hamill, the most magnificent woman to marry an Irishman. Fukiko, of course, is a very distinguished Japanese journalist. She and Pete have been married for over 30 years. And Pete tells hilarious stories of when he first brought her home. His mother was alive at the time, and he brought her home to meet Mrs. Hamill, and who was a lovely, graceful woman. And she was terrified because she wanted to embrace Fukiko and say, "Welcome, Fukiko, to our home." She was terrified to say her name. and it took her several years to find the courage to do so. But Fukiko, I think, kept Pete alive for a long time and helped him through so much physical travail, because the kidney problem started about 12 years ago, and it was very, very difficult. And also, Adrian, Pete broke the other hip 12 years ago on the way into the hospital with the first kidney emergency. They dropped the stretcher on the floor, and he broke his hip. So he's been through a tough, tough road. And Fukiko was there, helped every inch of the way. And I know Pete wouldn't have had nearly as happy a life. And I don't think we would have had him for nearly as long as we did if it weren't for Fukiko Hamill. And I'm in her debt, and I love her dearly. And I know Pete did also. So I'm glad I remembered to say that, because it's very, very important.
Let us also, Loretta, talk a little bit about a great friend, first of all, of Glucksman Ireland House, a very close friend of Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, who indeed smartens up this program, gives us a kickstart on Saturday mornings. Jim Cagney, the Cagneys,
yes,
never missed a single, ever, you know, opportunity to be there, not just with their money, but they just would be among the first to go to, whether that was the Irish Repertory Theatre or, in fact, Glucksman Ireland House. You couldn't hold anything without both of them, you know, coming in and creating that first kind of fortune, that smile. They actually undeservedly so, acted like, you know, they were the official greeters. Not only did they just support again everything, but they were there and spread that happiness to see everybody else, you know, involved as they were and supporting Irish culture it was incredible. And quiet, unassuming couple, if there ever was one.
And very, very dignified. Jim was the quintessential gentleman, always dapper with the neat collar and tie. And and Bridget looked like a Dresden doll, always, with her sweet hair done up and usually a beautiful bow at the back. And just so, such a radiant smile. And the two of them would envelop you in this absolute quintessential Irish hug, and you knew you were home. And they were always, always there. And as you know, Adrian, Jim passed away in his sleep, which I think is God's way of saying, this is a special child of mine. Emergency, no pain that we know of, and hope not. And he just slept away to God's embrace. And that was wonderful, except for Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
It was so traumatic. They had been, Bridget's 83, Jim was 87. And they've been married since they were, I think, 20.
Yeah.
So, a long, wonderful bond. And she is bereft. And this is where I'd like, if it's all right with you, to tell a brief story about Miriam Nyhan Gray, who knew them so intimately and cared for them so beautifully. Both of them, especially Bridget. Miriam was in, Bridget called Miriam immediately when Jim passed. So Bridget, who has three children under the age of four, and she and Eon, her magnificent husband, if we have time, I'd love to just talk a little bit about Black, Brown, and Green.
Miriam, we have the time.
Amazing program that you have enabled so beautifully. Eon is a very tall, handsome Jamaican man, and those three boys are the future of the world. They are Jamaican Irish, and they are the most beautiful people. So, very active household, very small household. Miriam went to see Bridget the day of Jim's passing, and she was staying with a neighbor whom she didn't know very well and was in distress, as you can imagine. Miriam packed Bridget up and took her to the Gray household and moved her in with the five members of the Nyhan Gray family until they could make arrangements to get Bridget back home to Cork. And here also I would like to say another good friend, a magnificent friend, Kieran Madden, our council general, moved heaven and earth, because everyone knows the restrictions imposed by this beastly pandemic about travel between our countries. So Kieran finally had everything worked out that Bridget could go back on the flight this past Monday. And on the flight happened to be Kieran's wife, Lana, and their precious daughter, Ruby, going back home for holiday, finally. And Kieran, of course, staying to mind the store and take care of Irish business. But he was there at the airport to bid them farewell. and on the flight was Bridget. So it was such a happy convergence of good things following very painful things for Bridget. And she was waved off in a very happy time. And Lana said she did very well on the flight. And she is now back home in Cork with family. And Ciarán also made arrangements. And Jim's remains were flown back home on Thursday. Not cremated, as was their preference. So yeah. That took a lot of arranging also.
Yeah.
So it's good to have good people in those one really important jobs. And Ciarán Madden is one of them. But back to Miriam just for a second.
Yeah.
Can you imagine opening a home that is so bursting with activity and energy of three young boys, make the space and the tranquility for a woman who is in such a precarious situation and make her welcome and make her happy? That's true Christian charity. And that's Miriam. She's my hero. She really is a wonderfully, deeply kind person. And I wish I had more of that every day that Miriam demonstrates so naturally all the time and in such a glorious way that we all benefit. And I'm so thrilled that she has that terrific program that you set up. And it has been fabulous for Glucksman Ireland House because she has made it so. And then her program of showing the diversity of the next generation of the Irish American experience, or indeed the Irish world experience in black, brown, and green, that's the Irish of the future. And thank you so much for giving it voice. It's very important.
Loretta, Anya has just reminded me, Anya Sheridan has reminded me that this is the quietest I have ever been for over 50 years. And, you know, she wasn't around 50 years ago, so she doesn't know. But I would like, you know, it's tremendous and it's great to have Glucksman Ireland House Radio Hour and Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, and not just Miriam, but the talent and the commitment of everybody there, starting again, you know, with Ted Smith, you know, who.
Oh, yes, Ted Smith, another hero. God, we're surrounded by heroes. Wonderful, wonderful, generous, giving people. Ted Smith, and I agree with my dear friend, Anya, but to be fair, I haven't given you a breath to get in, so I'm sorry.
I'm doing fine. As a matter of fact, I haven't done this fine for, oh my God. But I do want to, you know, this all did not come, you know, by accident. At a time that I was much more cocky than I am today, we, you know, started off, you know, with a program going back during the Troubles, you know, the beginning of the Troubles. In Northern Ireland, and the program, you know, it wasn't the end all and be all of everything, but it gave an opportunity, as you would well know through your great input into radio and television. It's not as much, you know, the host. If you have a platform, if you have a couple of microphones, and mm-hmm. if you have developed the kind of skill which I've just discovered today, and that is to stand back and shut up, I think that it is tremendous, and it's still a great medium. But you came in to Irish radio, and in just in case anybody thinks that Loretta and Lou needed a job, if there was any money around that time, we definitely didn't see it. But you came in with your own program and brought in, you know, Jay Oliva, people that we wouldn't even know where to start in inviting them, and if we did, you know, they wouldn't know who we were.
Oh, no,
likely. So,
that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true, but that was my happiest time, as you well know. I loved that time that you allowed me. I think radio is the most honest medium of communication for people. There's no distractions. I love radio because it connects you and it keeps you connected. And when you allowed me to do that with you for those years, it was such a highlight for me. It still is one of my fondest memories. I loved it very, very much. And I treasure any opportunity to join you again because I admire your skill with this very powerful medium, and I will always take an opportunity to talk with you, but not talk over you. So I'm glad Onya is the primary producer here and keeps us both on our toes.
Yeah. I do again want to, you know, to talk about, and I think you agree with me, it gives an opportunity to reach people, you know, to invite people who are very much a part of the fabric, good and bad, and through all of the years, again, going back to whether that's, you know, the great John Hume, who is bringing so much influence, and indeed quietly working on our side of the Atlantic as well. But I also think that this would be a good time to more than mention that I, again, because of my, and Onya, because of our friendship with you, were able to have you as the boss lady, and indeed Onya's another one here. I'm stuck between the two of you. But,
you're a lucky man.
You know, to give access to, going back to 93, the greatest collection, not only of oral history, but definitely the trove of such tremendous, again, for the purpose of radio, I'm going to stick with oral history. That is there. It is there mm-hmm. to be shared. And
absolutely.
Nobody, I don't think any of us could have picked anybody better or even half as good as Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray.
No, that was God's own providence, bringing Miriam to us. That was the linchpin. And little did we know all those years ago, but in 2020 hindsight, so much would not have, even if it happened by Irish happenstance, which we've come to rely on and shouldn't. But Miriam institutionalized it. She made it. She codified it and kept it available and built upon it and kept it available so that it could continue to to offer opportunities for every new generation of students.
Absolutely.
We just had a beautiful message from one of Marion Casey's students, Kathleen Price, beautiful young student, brilliant, who went through the Irish History program at Glucksman Ireland House and did her own personal memorial to Pete, and sent that wonderful cartoon editorial from the Daily News. I don't know if you and Ona saw it.
Yes.
Pete, before St. Peter, saying, please, may I have a typewriter?
And
that was so appropriate. Well, young Kathleen Price sent that along to Kevin Kenny, our academic director.
Yes,
another,
indeed.
Another wonderful,
fabulous.
Wonderful man.
Yeah.
And we've been literally separated now because of the pandemic. And Kevin and Rosanna and their two sons are in Boston, and we're in they're in constant contact with Miriam and all the staff. But when we'll open, how we'll open, is still being assiduously discussed. It's a very vexing difficulty, as you can imagine. There are so many physical ramifications.
Yep.
We don't want to go back to the dark days of another wave of this plague. So everybody's being very pragmatic and careful. But we miss it. We miss our Thursday nights. All those wonderful times. And I, you know what I do, Adrian? I just get so impatient with myself that I feel I took it so for granted. And now what I would give for just a bit of it, but I guess that's human nature. But
well, we're all feeling it. And again, I can't help but with great pride know that during this pandemic, where we don't know if we're coming or going, or and the insecurity, the fear, all of the human elements that goes with this, we do know, and nobody knows better than yourself. Ireland didn't disappear; it's there. And it will be there for us. But in particular, I think we all, even though it was founded by Glucksman Ireland House, founded by Lou and yourself, you brought in through the years so many. We think of perhaps educators and writers and the tremendous number of people who actually would be lining up at this point, to be able to speak and to greet. And I think that you're feeling some of what we are, in the sense that we need to look, we need to see, and we needn't settle for, the 6 feet apart. But as I've mentioned before, Anya, nothing new for me. Anya has for many years stayed 6 feet apart, and now I think it's worked up to, what is it, 12? Yeah. But anyway, no, we need that. But imagine that in Glucksman Ireland House in particular, nothing has been lost. And the archives are there.
God.
The treasures are there. And that's tremendous. That's another thing to look forward to.
Absolutely. That's a much more mature and beneficial way to look at it, Adrian. Thank you. And that's what I shall do, because it is there. We will be back, please God, and we will share it with those that we love. And it is coming, And we all just have to make sure we help and do whatever we can, whatever is necessary, to make sure that it comes sooner rather than later, that there's no backsliding, because each one of us is being careful, not careless. So thank you for that good reminder.
Loretta, again, a breath of fresh air. And this is, and thank you for, you know, sharing your today, sharing, obviously, we wish you very well, though I must say when you were speaking at the beginning of the program there about your rapid experience in getting to the ICU, I was wondering, you know, that Brennan part, does that have something
to do? That's the coal miner part, Adrian.
Yeah, that's it. And God knows the Brennans and many around the Brennans, they were never shy in saying, I beat it, and there's a bit of that in you, and long may it last. You're terrific.
Thank God.
All right. Again, thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your friendship and for this wonderful opportunity. And I hope all, certainly the Flannelly family and all your radio family stay well and safe and strong. And we'll do this together, and we'll come out the other side, and we will make a lot of fun again. So thank you.
Loretta, thank you, Loretta Brennan-Glux. But I think it would be appropriate, though, as we're coming to the end of the program, to come back to the favorite song of, indeed, The Town I Love So Well. And
Many the evening began and ended with that amazing song by John, and many times with Phil.
Oh, absolutely.
Many times. So that would be gloriously appropriate, and a few more very happy tears will be shed. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you. Okay.
God bless.
The song. We'll pick it up again.
Cold wind from Craig, the moor and the bog.
The song. The town I love so well. The composer. Coulter, and it's dedicated to, I don't know how many times Phil Coulter sang his own song, but we know that John Hume contributed greatly for doing the accumulative number of times that the song has been sung. We can give it to John Hume.
Was a burning pride in the town I loved so well. There was music there in the very air, like a band that we all could understand. I remember thank you.
by the arms and cars and the bombs that hold on and the gas that hangs on to a big beam. Now an army is installed by that old Caprio's home and the town.
That's our program.